pen. And I'd like to rewrite this passage because it's not nice, is it? It really isn't nice. This isn't the Jesus we know and love. It's not the Jesus. So we'll correct it. So Jesus goes to the vicinity of Tyre. Yes, he enters a house, doesn't want anybody to know it, can't keep it secret. A woman comes, begs to him to heal her daughter. And Jesus says, well, for such faith as this, your daughter's healed. Go home. And she went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. That's the Jesus we know and love. That's who it is. This is the Jesus we think we know, the one who used a good Samaritan as an example. Now, Samaritans were not liked by the Jews, but Jesus says there was this good one, and he helped this poor man. Or there was Jesus who cast out demons from the man called himself Legion. Now, Legion lived in a place that wasn't Israel. So Jesus healed a person who wasn't, as they say, one of the children of Abraham. Then Jesus picked out, remember that when there were 10 people with leprosy, 10 men with leprosy, and they called out, Jesus, heal us. And he said, go on your way and show yourself to the priest. And they go, and they're all healed. One of them comes back and says, thank you to Jesus. And Jesus says, well, where are the 9? Where are the others? And there's only one returned, this one, a Samaritan. Good people, foreigners, non-Israelites, great. And then when Jesus was actually crucified, Mark points out it's a Roman centurion who says, surely this was the Son of God. All good stuff. Jesus' love going beyond the boundaries of Israel. And his life is the inspiration behind the words of James that we heard read out. Don't show favoritism. If someone is poor, treat him, her, in exactly the same way as you would treat a rich person. Don't talk the talk without walking the walk. I know it's a cliche, but we know what we mean. Live out your faith, said James, the brother of Jesus. Live it out. And James said this because he'd seen it in Jesus, we thought. And then we have these horrible, horrible words. First, let the children all eat all they want, he told her, Jesus told the woman, for it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Thank you very much. But what are we to make of these words? And I'll be honest, I've struggled with this. I struggle with this passage every time it comes up. And it's really hard. So let's bear with me and let's work on this together, if we can. Let's try to discover what it is that God is actually saying to us through this hard passage. Some say Jesus was just testing the woman, testing her faith. Well, that's possible. And there's people have taken this line and they say, too often our faith is like a happy ever after faith. You know, we trust God, we treat him like a slot machine. Our prayer is the coin that we put in the slot machine or the vending machine, and out comes the answer we want. Happy ever after. Jesus is saying, no, God is not like that. He's the trust. Do you trust? Is your faith a faith of trust? And the particular person I'm thinking of said, he took the people of Israel into the wilderness. They'd gone through the Red Sea and, whoa, look at this, fantastic. God got us through the Red Sea. Whoa, happy ever after. Ah, now you're going to spend 40 years in the wilderness. Will you trust me day after day after day after day during that time? Do we treat God as someone who will just make us live happy ever after? Is that how we treat God? Jesus was trying to, so these commentators say, that Jesus was trying to help this woman not to treat God in that way. It's not happy ever after. It's, do you trust me in the good times and in the bad times? It's, go, do you trust me in the wilderness? And yes, there's a lot of good in that teaching. But then I think, why did the people spend 40 years in the wilderness? It's because they disobeyed God. They didn't trust him. They wandered in the wilderness as a punishment. But as far as we know, this Syrophoenician woman hadn't been particularly naughty. She was doing nothing to merit extra punishment. So, it's true, the teaching, do we trust God? But just wilderness, I'm not sure about that. Well, what about, as some people say, don't forget that Jesus was 100% human as well as 100% divine. Does anybody here ever get tired? I don't suppose. Do you ever get tired? Yeah, of course we do. Jesus was human and he would get wiped out on occasions, absolutely exhausted. And here he was, retreating to a place where he wasn't known, just to get a bit of rest, for heaven's sake. And then this woman turns up. You know the sort of occasion. You've just had an exhausting day, and you've sat down with a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, and you just need world go away. And perhaps you put on Roadshow, Antiques Roadshow, or something. I don't know what. You put something on and you just want to see nothing passing your eyes. You just need to recharge your energies. Telephone rings. And you get up and you answer it, and it's a long, long conversation. And you didn't need this. You did not need this. Jesus is exhausted, and then this woman comes up with a very real need, and he loses it. He's exhausted. And he said, look, I can just come another day. I can't deal with it now. Well, Jesus was so human, and he was as human servant. He was the child, son of God, yes, but he was called servant of God, and in his humanity, he knew that God, his Father, had a mission for him to carry out. And he was focused on that mission. He knew he had to do this. And he was not going to be distracted. And that's good, too. That's good, too. How easy it is to be distracted. How easy it is. Earlier on in the service today, we were praying the prayer of preparation. And as we were praying, I suddenly thought, we were going to have a fire drill today. I'm letting the cat out of the bag now. We were going to have one, but it's raining. So, David, please do not ring the bell at the end. And it suddenly occurred to me that, and I said, no, come on, I've sorted that, but concentrate. Concentrate. We're so easily distracted. And Jesus was not going to be distracted from his mission. And that's right, and that's good. And yet he would allow himself to be distracted. There was, when he was on his way to Jerusalem, and he was going there with such determination that those following him were a bit terrified. You know, whoa. And yet on the way he stopped and he healed blind Bartimaeus. Or he'd been asked by Jairus to come and, that Jesus would come and heal his own daughter. And Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house, and then this woman touches him. And he feels the power, and he stops, and he deals with this woman. He's got the mission to go to Jairus' house, and the woman distracts him because she needed healing. She needed healing, and he dealt with her before going on to Jairus' home. The two things already we can learn. Do we trust Jesus in all circumstances, in the good times and the bad? Do we focus on him? Do we? And it's so important we force ourselves in a service. Focus on Jesus. It's so easy to be distracted. Focus on Jesus and what we're doing. And in our daily lives, as Jesus, as we used to sing in that old chorus, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Focus on Jesus. So that's two ways of reading it. Another way, which, again, I have struggled with this, but several people have saying, is that Jesus was human. Jesus was human and therefore a child of his time, a child of his nation, and therefore limited by by his time, by his own way of thinking, by the people's way of thinking. That he would share the Jewish point of view that as they were God's special people, others were inferior. Other races, other nations were inferior. But it was the woman's comment, yes, okay, you don't give the food to the dogs first, but even they have the right to the crumbs. It was her comment that made Jesus change his mind. Jesus changed his mind. There's so much in me that says, no, that cannot be true. He knew everything, and he was omnipotent and omniscient and to all the omnis. Jesus changed his mind, and yet there are some very strange parts in the Bible which need a bit of sorting out. In the Old Testament, there's a time when God has a word with Abraham. He says, Abraham, come over here. And he says, I'm going to tell you what, you know that awful city of Sodom? Yeah, I know. He says, I'm going to destroy it. It's so awful. And Abraham says, just a minute. What if there are 50 people there who are righteous? Will you destroy them, the wicked, the good, with the bad? And God says, well, okay, if there are 50 there, I won't destroy it. And Abraham says, well, what if there are 40? Will you destroy them? No, okay, if they're there, I won't destroy the city. Well, 30? 20? Please don't get cross. What if there are only 10? Okay, for the sake of 10 righteous people, I will not destroy the city of Sodom. They couldn't even find 10. Then there's another event a bit later on. Moses is up on the top of the mountain, Mount Sinai. He's receiving the tablets, the 10 commandments, and it's a wow, new wine, eat your heart out. It was an amazing conference for God and Moses. Fantastic. Down in the valley, they're building a golden calf, turning their backs on God. God knows what's going on. He says, Moses, out of the way. I've had it with this lot. I'm going to destroy them all, and I'll make of you a new nation. We'll have a fresh start. How's that sound? And Moses said, no. What will people say? And he appears to change God's mind. Yeah, we struggle. And then in the New Testament, it talks in Hebrews, it has this bit about Jesus. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learnt obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. But wasn't Jesus already perfect? It says he learned obedience and was made perfect. Did Jesus have to learn? Well, there's something for us. If Jesus had to learn, how much more do we? How much more do we? So very quickly then, we've got three things already. Trust God in all circumstances? Do we focus on what God wants us to do and not allow ourselves to be distracted by distractions? Do we need to learn? Did Jesus learn? Do we have to learn as Jesus did? and learn from unexpected people. This was a foreign woman. Or maybe this incident just shows us the danger of petty rules. In the early part of the chapter, Jesus has said, you know how you've got the Pharisees, the religious leaders say you've got to wash in a certain way, do pots and pans and this and that and the other thing. He says it's all a load of nonsense. What's important is here, in your heart. Be right with God. We're not talking about being true to yourself. It's be true to God. And petty rules will end up isolating you from others. And petty rules isolated the disciples from the need of this Syrophoenician woman. Or it could be that that's what happens. We, the people of Israel, that we were blessed for our own sake. We deserve this blessing. And it's for us and for us. And we tell the others what they should be like. Just like Hitler told others what they should be like. And the Jews were killed in their millions. Just like in apartheid at South Africa, the black people were told, you are inferior. And the white people, we know. We are blessed, not you. Just like, as I fear is happening in Hong Kong, the Chinese government in Beijing is telling the people of Hong Kong what is good for them. We are blessed, you will do what we say. Happens in churches, holy huddles, and people are excluded from God's blessing because God's blessings are for us, only for us. And if Jesus had that, well, he changed. Whatever really was going on there, by the end of the incident, the unjust them and us structure of society has been transformed. The disciples and the Gentile woman saw that God's blessings are not confined to the children of Israel. They're international, they're for everyone. The blessings of God are for everyone. And so today, if we see or know of anyone being excluded from receiving God's blessing, we are called to change that situation as far as we are able. Come to the study groups, either on Tuesday or Thursday, and we can look further at this, because this needs looking at further. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that your love is indeed for us all, not just one group of people or another, but for us all. May we share your blessings with everyone. May we learn as we need to learn. May we trust you in all circumstances. May we keep our focus on you and not be distracted by the world. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.